This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, Kurt Smith here, telling you to listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio, Friday evenings, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Soul Seekers Radio. I'm Gil, your host. Tonight we have a special edition of Soul Seekers. Again, we have Susan Schultz, author, and if you can remember from our past show, Susan came to us and talked about things to do on the other side and what happens when we die. And welcome back, Susan.
Well, hi, Gil.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Glad you can make it back with us finally again. After all of our delays and whatnot that has occurred.
Oh, that's okay.
But you're ready to talk to us tonight about some more interesting things?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I know I've told the guests that we're going to be talking about Easter Island, the lost civilization of Atlantis, crop circles, and possibly a few other things, time permitting.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, and this is all from my other book, which was Answers from Heaven.
Right.
And so there's many subjects in there, so we're just going to go over a few, though, tonight.
Okay. You want to tell everybody where they can get a hold of the book, first of all?
Yes, I have a web page, and it is www.answersfromheaven.com, and it brings up my site, and you can actually download the book straight to your computer.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And your email address, if people want to get a hold of you that way?
My email address is Suzie Slates, that's SuzieSlatz, at yahoo.com. And you can, you know, just if you want to comment or if you want to ask questions, you know, I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, great. I think the first thing that we should talk about tonight is probably one of my favorite subjects, and that's Atlantis.
Atlantis is great. It really is.
I've always been fascinated with Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? What's happening in the book here is, just to give you a little idea, my husband and I, we just love to watch all these Discovery and Geography channels, History channels, and so, of course, whenever we would be watching something like on Atlantis or crop circles or whatever, Gillian would come through, mm-hmm. and sometimes Paul, they would come through and they would just tell us things that really weren't on the show, and it was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah, I love watching the History Channel and Discovery mm-hmm. Channel, but what kind of things would he tell you that, you know, we didn't see on the programs?
Okay, well, as far as Atlantis goes, I mean, everyone knows that, I mean, there's a lot of people that believe it's a myth, and other people believe that it did exist, and, you know, of course, many scientists and archaeologists are actually hunting for it as we speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing is according to our guides, it is absolutely real. It is not a myth whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Now, they're saying that the scientists have actually found this site, and they don't really give me any tips on where it is. I guess they don't want me to say anything, you know.
Right.
But as far as it goes, from what I've seen actually on one of the channels, it looks like it's in around the Mediterranean Sea, around Crete and Greece.
Oh, really?
You know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Some people claim that they
believe that it was actually, I think, a little bit more south of Crete.
Huh, that's interesting. Because some people claim it's, you know, down by the Bahamas and in the Bermuda Triangle, and that's what causes the Bermuda Triangle. But to know it's in the Mediterranean, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's something that I actually seen on TV, you know, part of that. Because I do a lot of checking things besides the things that I get from them. You know, I like to do some research also.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling us that actually there's proof in the Mediterranean and the Baltic area, you know, in the cultures of North Africa, as well as Egyptian cultures, actually have information that has to do with, you know, the existence of Atlantis.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, within their culture. Uh-huh. And, you know, actually, if you Google Earth this, you know, just put Crete.
Right.
You know, or even Greece, whatever, uh-huh. you're going to see that whole entire area, and it is very closely related, you know, to Africa and Egypt, and the Baltic Sea would be a little bit more north and stuff like that, but
right.
All of that is so related.
Oh.
And they're saying that a lot of their technology was actually, you know, used, you know, to build the pyramids and everything.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that some of the Atlantean people actually did help to build the pyramids,
mm-hmm.
and either that or they were just also using technology that some of the Atlanteans taught them. And now, like, I don't know exactly what year this was and stuff like that. Now, if I do anything on, you know, by going on the internet, we're looking at about 9,000 BC. I kind of think that's a little, I don't know. You know, I don't know how to think about that. I don't know if it's too far back or what,
mm-hmm.
but that's what I'm seeing here. Now, as far as it goes, what they haven't told us is that there were travelers, they're aliens, and they're from the Andromeda Galaxy. And what they did was they visited Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for areas. They like to do experiments. They like to test, you know, check on us, on our cultures and that type of thing. So, of course, they're going to find an island where, you know, they're not going to see too many people. You know, there's nobody that can really come and, you know, mess up their experiments or anything. So they're going to look for some place that's kind of out there in the ocean,
sure.
some type of an island. So Atlantis actually was perfect for them. And the people of Atlantis, they loved these people. Now, they did not call themselves aliens. They did not say that they were, you know, from outer space. What they did was they called themselves travelers. So they invited them to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just absolutely, they got along so well. Now, some of the travelers were actually concerned about contaminating the culture because the whole idea is to really evolve at your own pace.
Right.
But that's what this whole experiment was. They're going to introduce some technology, and they want to see how the people react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they first just started by they had some seeds. They wanted them to start growing some plants because the travelers themselves, you know, they were concerned about any kind of bacteria that Earth would have. And then, of course, you know, they did not want to, you know, get sick and die either. So
sure.
what they did was they introduced these seeds. And they taught them, you know, how to fertilize it, how to grow and cultivate, and then, of course, how to harvest the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually made them into life-saving medicines. Mm-hmm. And they cured everything.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, they said, now, these travelers stayed for quite a number of years, and, you know, it just took the first few years, and Atlantis, the people from Atlantis were completely disease-free.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Then disease showed up, did it?
Well, no, that didn't happen. But, no, what they did is everybody was completely disease-free. And so anyway, what they do is they go, okay, now what they were going to do is just start introducing a little bit of something else to them. So what they decided to do was to introduce some kind of weapons for their protection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the crystals, there were crystals that were actually on the island of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they just modified some of these crystals, and what they did was they actually made a weapon that could actually decimate an enemy, you know, with amazing accuracy from dozens of miles away.
Hmm.
So this way, it gave them protection. I think that they felt kind of like they needed the protection because they were there.
Right.
You know, and they didn't want anybody, you know, coming in and, you know, I guess, you know, finding out that they were there.
Right.
So they wanted the protection. And so that's what they did. They actually just modified these crystals. And, you know, so these people had this protection. They also, let's see here, they also put songs, and these crystals were all set up with all kinds of things. Let me just see here a second. I've got so much information here. As far as it goes, what they did was the Atlanteans, they had like so much fun. They had a blast. I mean, they had all the comforts that most people, that many people today have. They actually had running water. They had electric. They had sewers. And they even had, even though they were rudimentary, they had computers. And there was one in every single home.
And this was BC.
Yeah. Okay. How about that?
That's amazing.
I mean, that's just amazing.
Do you know, is there any idea how many people existed in Atlantis?
I don't think I have the, I don't think I have the total on that.
Was it a big
island? I know
island?
There was quite a few.
Was it a big island, or?
I believe that it was about the size of Crete.
Huh.
So if you Google Earth that,
right.
I mean, Crete is pretty large.
Yeah.
And if you Google Earth that, you will see, you know, and I believe, like I say, it's a little bit, it was a little bit south of Crete.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so as far as these computers go, though, what they did was they were first made for the travelers because they wanted to, they used them as monitoring units.
Right.
And, but it ended up that all the people ended up having one in their own home, and they monitored, like, people coming and going, and any, they had their water availability. It was set on there to monitor that, air purity, and they even had little, a bit of local news for everybody.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
They even tell us that some versions are actually still being used today somewhere in the world. Now, I don't know exactly where, but I would imagine it would be down in that area.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe Egypt or, you know, any of the areas down in that way. But, I mean, you know, they did actually mingle with the people as far as the Atlanteans. I mean, they did actually mingle with the cultures around there. So that's why there today is still some things that actually do exist, you know, that had to do with them. And let's see, what else did they do here?
Well, that area anyways is, you know, like the earliest civilization of recorded man's from that area.
I know.
So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if Atlantis was there, then, you know, that just may have grown outwards from there.
I think so, too. As far as it goes, you know, these crystals, they didn't just use them for their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
What they also did was the people, they just loved to sing. And what there are thousands of songs that are recorded on these crystals, and they're actually buried in with the city.
Huh.
And the society, they were so rich in culture. I mean, they had art and poetry, many books. Their architecture is absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
And they are telling us that when our scientists actually unearth all of this, it's going to be actually in magnificent condition, everything.
No kidding.
I don't know what they did, but they did something to preserve it for when, you know, man
found.
Of later time does unearth it.
Huh. Let's
They're
hope
actually,
so.
Oh, go ahead.
I said let's hope so, that when we do find it, that, you know, it is in the shape it was.
Oh, well, it's going to be great because, I mean, they're going to dig up these computers. And it's going to take a very, very long time for them to actually figure out the computers. They're going to have to actually reverse engineer the technology
right.
in order to figure it out. Now, the songs, they'll figure that out in a few years, you know, but they can decode the crystals and they're going to find these songs of all these Atlanteans from so long ago. It's going to be such a find, you know?
No kidding. It'll be the find of all time, I would imagine.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what. It's going to be a big deal when this happens. And, you know, I do expect it to happen soon. I know that the information that we got, this is probably about 5 years old.
Oh, no kidding.
At this. Mm-hmm. Because I had the information a few years, and then, like I say, my book's out probably a year and a half at this point, you know.
Right.
So it's there's some fantastic things that are going to be unearthed.
Now
here's the problem. The
okay.
problem is the Atlantean people, instead of just enjoying things, because this was just to let you know, this was a complete experiment.
Right.
They wanted to give these people all of this technology and all of this information and they wanted to see how they would handle it. Mm-hmm. Well, they handled it poorly. Because what they did is, even though they loved their life and they enjoyed everything, mm-hmm. they got greedy.
Right.
And they actually wanted to use the new technology, especially the weapons, and they wanted to start to control the lands that were surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not part of the plan, obviously.
Right.
And the experiment was deemed a failure. And the island was buried completely underwater in one day and one night, and every person that was on the island was killed.
No kidding. No. Did some of the people, you said, you know, some of them went outwards and mingled with other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think some of the Atlanteans survived, you know, not being on the island at the time it was buried?
I do. I do. And I think that's why there is some remnants in that area mm-hmm. of their culture.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But I guess the people that were there for that one particular day and night, they were the ones that probably should have got on a boat and left, because it did not work. I'll tell you what, they killed them all.
How long was it in existence before that happened, you know?
That I don't know. But I will tell you, let's see here. I haven't done that much research on the web on this.
Mm-hmm.
I do know it's somewhere, like they're saying, about 9,000 B.C., and when the aliens did come to visit them, I have not been given a date on that.
Huh. But they
now, you know, the people on the other side, they don't really have time, you know that, so I don't usually get dates.
Right, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. So it obviously was there for some time, though, before they decided to bury it.
Oh, yeah. They were there. I mean, they were a civilization that was, you know, moving along on the evolutionary scale just like anyone else.
Right.
And they just actually picked them to do the experiment. And I know that the travelers, they were there for years, you know. I mean, all I know is that it was a few years before they were disease-free. And then, of course, you know, they taught them all this other, you know, so I would imagine that they were there for, you know, just in my guesstimation, probably somewhere, maybe about, you know, 9-10 years Earth time.
Hmm.
You know, so they really did enjoy a good life and stuff like that. They just, you know, obviously they did the wrong thing by
right.
getting greedy and wanting more land.
Right, and they messed it up. And you think some of their technology, you know, leaked through with some of the Atlanteans that, you know, left the island and survived.
Like, yeah, they're saying that basically North African cultures as well as Egyptian cultures, they do have proof of this type of thing. So I think they're going to find that there is some things, you know, that leaked through to those areas.
I would think the Egyptian culture, because they were far advanced for their time.
They were. And to tell you the truth, like I say, there, Egypt is really pretty close to where around the Crete area is.
Yeah, it sure is. It's on the south side of, you know, the Mediterranean there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know.
That's very possible.
That's my guess as to where Atlantis is buried.
Well, it'd be interesting to find out. Everybody's always, you know, wondered where it's at and if it's ever going to be found and what we're going to learn from it when we do find it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the funniest thing, I Google Earthed Atlantis, and it didn't come up.
Probably got
my son's
Atlantic City.
Oh, God. My son said, Mom, you're not going to be able to get that. And I said, I just had a try.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
No.
Is there anything else that might spark our curiosity about it? Any other information or interesting tidbits?
The only thing is, you know, what they're trying to tell us, what my guides say, that they love the fact that we love these mysteries of life, you know, and wanting to understand them. And they just think it is so great, and they keep a watch on us, and, you know, they just love to see our progress as we, you know, unearth Atlantis, so they're going to be watching us.
Now, did the
completely.
Did the Atlanteans appear just like you and I? I mean, was there any differences in them? Did they look different?
Well, they call them tribes, so I would imagine that they were probably, you know, what we would consider some, like an islander.
Oh, I see. Huh.
Mm-hmm. So in the South Pacific, you know.
They would have fit right in then with the culture around them and the other civilizations.
I think so too, yes.
Yeah. Now, was there any other, you know, besides Atlantis? I know the answer, but for our guests, is there any other civilizations that are similar to Atlantis, like other experiments?
Easter Island.
Right.
Easter Island. This is a good one. I love this one. Now, this is another thing. I want everybody to Google Earth Easter Island.
Okay.
It's really something, because when you Google Earth it, you'll put in Easter Island, and it comes up Easter Island, Chile.
Huh.
Now, I know full well that Easter Island is actually 2,000 miles away from Chile.
Is it that far?
To the east.
Yeah.
And it is just, this island is all completely by itself.
Right.
There might be like some little ones here and there. They're like specks on Google Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just such a phenomenal island. You have to go on and Google Earth this, because it is just wonderful.
Let's try
that. And now there's a reason that it's listed for Chile, and I'll tell you that later, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I was going to spill the beans, but I won't now.
No, we're not going to do that. So anyway, Easter Island is located in the southeastern Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an island all to itself.
Right.
They had the native inhabitants they're called Rapa Nui,
mm-hmm.
and that is the same name as the island. It's called Rapa Nui. And like I said, it is about 2,000 miles away from Chile.
Mm-hmm.
Now Tahiti, you got Tahiti on the. We have the Tahiti on the left, or mm-hmm. to the west, and then you have Chile on the right.
Correct.
Or to the east. And so they had gotten a lot of their culture from both of those areas. People did visit there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it is said that one of their first giant statues, the Moai
mm-hmm.
statues, actually came from there.
Oh, no kidding.
And then the people started to make them from the volcanoes, you know, right from all the material from the volcanoes. They were actually building their own large statues like that. And they were basically anywhere from 14 foot to 33 foot.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, some of them were, I've actually seen a show, and some of them look smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the normal size was about 14 foot, but it did go up to 33.
No kidding.
Now, this here was something, I mean, they just absolutely loved. They were great builders,
mm-hmm.
The Rapa Nui people. They loved it. And so, of course, they were building their statues, and they started to put them on the rim of the island in order to ward off evil. So that was the reason that they put that there. But what happened was it caught attention, again, from travelers from mm-hmm. space, you know, and this island is completely, like I say, unto itself. There is basically nothing around it.
Exactly.
So any alien, this is a perfect area for them to set up,
hmm.
you know, for any kind of landing site for all kind of astral travel.
Sure, because it's very secluded.
Yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely. And so anyway, they did actually come to the island, and what they did, they actually befriended the natives, and, you know, these people are, you know, they were so trusting, you know, and they liked these people, so they just let them come, and of course they started to help them to replicate these large Moai statues,
mm-hmm.
and what they did was they did it at a very fast pace, and within just a short time, they actually ringed the whole entire island with these statues. There was just so many of them.
How big is the island?
I don't really have the dimensions on the island, to tell you the truth.
I mean, it's good size, but it's not a huge
no.
island.
No, if I mean, like I say, if you're looking at it, it is like teeny. It is really tiny compared to any island like Crete or anything like that. It's almost a speck, actually. But actually, there's four volcanoes on this island. They have one on each end. It's kind of like a triangle. And then the top part, there's a very large volcano, and then one on each tip, and then one that comes in a little bit more from the right tip of the island. So, I mean, this place is basically one big volcano, you know.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And it is just, I just love it. You know, I like I say, I Google Earth everything, you know. And anyway, you have to go on and check that out. I believe that where the people actually lived is actually at the bottom right-hand corner of the island on the east side.
Okay. I'll check that out. Now, with Easter Island, you said that the Rapa Nui were already there. Now, with Atlantis, was there already people there, or were the travelers brought there and then populated?
Well, with Atlantis, I mean, the Atlantean tribe was there.
Oh, were
it's
they?
Just that they, they just, the aliens just came and actually, you know, performed experiments, you know, their experiments with the people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, with, it's the same thing here with Easter Island. They came down. Now, these people here, I don't, you know, it doesn't say here, I don't have any information where they actually introduced technology. I think they, by that time, this was after this Atlantis, so I believe they kind of learned their lesson about introducing technology.
Right.
And basically, they just came down and they studied, you know, all kinds of plant life and animal life, and they even did tests on the humans and stuff like that, you know, just testing everybody out, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, any alien is just an advanced form of us.
Sure. Now, the statues, they were put there for, like, landmarks, weren't they?
Actually, it was to ward off evil.
Oh, no kidding.
That's what they first put them up for.
Uh-huh.
Now, but it was ended up putting the travelers, the space travelers, what they did was they put them up. They helped them to ring the whole entire island because they made a huge landing site, you know, for all of the travelers.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. So that's actually why, because this way you could see it straight from space. And what they did is it was easy to bring people. And then, of course, it's an island that, gosh, there's so much room on that island, you know, that there was many places for them to land, and it was safe for them.
I see.
You know, they were totally out of the loop from the rest of the world.
So Easter Island was a more successful experiment. They obviously didn't sink that one, so.
No, they didn't, no. No, and they didn't kill anybody either, so that's good, you know. But let's see here. Okay, like I say, I told you they replicated the statues, they brought, and the space travelers, you know, kept coming back and forth, and it was just a place really for them to stop, you know. They did perform their experiments, and I guess they just left, you know. They were undetected, so it was like a perfect situation. And so I guess this one was deemed quite a successful experiment.
Good.
You know, and now the thing is the Pacific Ocean, like I say, is there was many things that happened afterward, and I would like to go into that.
Okay.
First of all, the Rapa Nui, what happened is they are great builders, so they used stone and they used wood. They built boats. I don't know why they didn't use one to get off the island, but they built boats. They built houses from their wood. They had many, many palm trees all over the whole entire island. And what they did was they built their houses, and the palm leaves are what they used for their roofs.
Oh, no kidding.
And, and they made temples. They had... They were wonderful builders. So, but what happened is they actually, you know... They ran out of trees is what happened. They kept on making new things. And they also made these wagons. When they made their big statues, what they did was they would lay them on there and they would drag them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would drag them into place. So in essence, what they did was they completely messed up their whole entire ecosystem.
Right.
because they cut down their trees and their soil eroded. So they had some major problems when it came to feeding people.
Oh, I see.
Now, here is, okay, we're going to go according to date here.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1722, now, you have to understand, I'm telling you it's called Rapa Nui.
Right.
Now, it got its name Easter Island when there was an explorer. There's a Dutch explorer. His name was Admiral Jacob Roggeveen. Mm-hmm. And what he did was he arrived on Easter Day.
Oh,
he was an explorer, and he was out, and his whole entire group saw this island. And then, of course, the statues, you know, they just had to stop.
Sure.
Because it just, it was a little island somewhere next to nothing with all of this. So they stopped, and they loved it there. But the thing is, like I say, it was Easter Day, so he called it Easter Island, and the name stuck.
Huh.
You know?
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So what happened, again, okay, let's go according to date here, 1860s. What happened in there,
mm-hmm.
There was somewhere around 2,000 to 3,000 islanders, the Rapa Nui Islanders, were living at that point. Mm-hmm. But what happened was a group of raiders came in the early part of the 1860s, and they actually killed half of them. They killed about 1,500 of them.
Really?
So they were down to about 1,500 mm-hmm. people. And then, of course, in the late 1860s, there was a missionary that came, I guess, to help them. But what he did was he, in turn, brought tuberculosis to their island.
Really?
Yeah, so TB kind of killed about 300 to 400 of them.
Wow.
So now they're, you know, really declining like crazy in,
population, yeah.
Population, yeah. And so it ended up that with the eroded soil and, there was just really no way to feed all the people.
Right.
And from what I'm told, they basically went to cannibalism.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, you think they'd go fishing?
Well, actually, let me put you this. I was looking on the web, and they said there is a joke for the Rapa Nui that says, "Oh my God, you've got a piece of your mother between your teeth." How scary is that one? So anyway, that was sick. I know, shouldn't have said it. But anyway, it's on the web. So that's not from my guys. It's on the web. But that's basically what happened. They, between the raiders and the diseases, and then, of course, you know, when they ran out of food and stuff like that, and cannibalism, it got to the point that basically the island didn't have much on it.
Right.
Now, they actually do show this island at this point. There is actually a Rapa Nui National Park there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that it shows Easter Island, Chile, is because in 1966, Chile made it a special territory.
Oh, I see.
And even though they are very far away and stuff like that, what they do is they actually, they annexed it and they made it a territory of Chile.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah, so there are some people that are actually on that island that actually live there,
mm-hmm.
but there's very few. And the people go there for tours and stuff like that, you know,
right.
So.
Now, is it still being watched as an experiment, do you think?
That wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. I do know that a lot of the statues have fallen into the ocean.
Right.
And they do say that the scientists and archaeologists will actually find many, many of them. All they have to do is look actually near the shore.
Huh.
Because they fell in, all their temples that they built completely destroyed because of the Pacific Ocean
mm-hmm.
is the destructive power of that, and then of course it knocked a lot of the statues in.
Huh.
But there's many statues that are still there.
Oh yeah, I've seen them on the documentaries on TV.
I think a lot of them are like, you know, fell down.
Right.
But they're there for everybody to go. And I do know that people do go and visit the island.
Yeah, I knew that also. And all those statues, they were indigenous of the island. They weren't brought in from anywhere else.
From what I understand, the first one was, you know, the first few. Uh-huh. But then, of course, all of them were made from the island, and they, like I say, used parts of the volcano ash and really all of the air, the dirt and that type of thing put
right.
together. What they did was they made some kind of material that built them. But I will tell you that the travelers, okay, the aliens, what they did is they actually replicated them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that to this day, if you had one that was made by the islanders and one that was replicated mm-hmm. by the aliens, you would not be able to tell the difference.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I know. But that's about it for Easter Island, but I love it, and I will tell you, everybody, you got to Google Earth this. And like I say, bring it out, and then check to see how far it is from Tahiti and to Chile.
Okay.
It is just amazing how far it is away from anything.
Yeah, it's just out in the middle of nowhere by itself.
It is. It is.
It's strange that it even exists like that, out in the middle of the ocean.
Actually, I was surprised because I thought that I knew that it was near Chile, and I knew that it was, quite the distance away, but I did not expect it to come up on the Atlas that far away.
Yeah.
I was really surprised.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that far either. It's not,
mm-hmm.
not the easiest place to access then.
No, not at all. I'm sure that it costs a lot of money to go see that place.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still like a little civilization there now, you said.
Yeah, I saw that one on TV, and like I say, I don't know if it was like 300 or 500 people, and what they are islanders, and they, you know, they were, I guess, descendants of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did live, obviously, and what they do is they basically are there, and it's just a kind of commercialized at this point. It's a place to go and, you know, just walk around, do the island, and I'm sure that is what is their biggest draw.
Right.
You know, their food and all the ambience of the island.
Huh. I'm sure they must have everything just shipped in if they can't sustain themselves there. It's pretty inhospitable, isn't it?
Well, you know what? I guess so, because that was just the 1800s, you know. But like I say, even Hawaii, I mean, everything... there's a lot of things that have to be shipped into Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, any kind of island, you would have to.
Sure, that's mm-hmm. true. All right, that's really cool about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now our next subject, which is another one that I find fascinating, is crop circles.
Okay, let's do crop circles here. Well, how long do you think that crop circles have been around?
a long time.
A long time. Yeah. Actually, they're actually here for thousands of years already.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people think that they're kind of something that's maybe been around 400 or 50 years or something like that. But actually, it's been actually thousands of years. And they actually first started out as just small concentric rings.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it's actually people from the other side
right.
that actually did this. To begin with, they were just people, like people who passed over, and they would come back to Earth. And what they did is they placed their what they call placing their expansion
mm-hmm.
Of expression on the field.
That's right.
That's all it is. And you know, it was just I don't know if it was just something fun for them to do at first or what. I don't know the reason for it, but I do know that that's how it first started out.
Just sort of like artwork from the other side.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean, there's a lot of people from the other side that come to Earth, and they come to see all the things that they couldn't when they were here.
Right.
You know, whether it would be due to, you know, whether it's a lack of money or of lack of, you were so busy you didn't get to visit this place or that place, you know, and so they do come back. They come back. We can't see them because they're on a different vibration. But obviously they can do something to affect, you know, the land here.
Right.
they can manipulate, you know.
Well, most people,
so,
most
they people, were the ones that did it.
Most people think that they're made by aliens.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the very first ones.
Right.
Now, the extraterrestrials, the aliens, what they did is actually saw the original crop circles that were done by the people from the other side.
Oh,
and they actually copied the idea.
Oh, really?
And they said that it's just a way for the people of Earth to understand that they're here,
mm-hmm.
that they're around, and that there is actually a language to their crop circles.
Huh.
So there is an actual reason for it.
Right.
And, you know, we all do know that the crop circles, I mean, when we first started seeing shows on them, they were just circles or that type of thing, something not very complicated. And at this point, they are just unbelievably complicated.
Yeah, they sure
are. They're gorgeous.
Very complex and
mm-hmm.
amazing. Now, they're very prevalent over here in England.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Seems more so than, you know, the States or anywhere else that I've heard.
Well, I'll tell you what. You're England, Ireland, it was, from what I understand, the very first place that any humans were ever, you know, first put on Earth.
Right.
And I don't think that it gets much, you know, much more ancient than in the area where you live.
Yeah, exactly. Ireland, I've heard, is where the first civilization was.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that just, at one time, they said Ireland and England, what is now Ireland and England, were connected up towards the north. You know, Scotland and Northern Ireland were actually one landmass, but over time, you know, that's the Irish Sea has divided the two.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I Google Earth that, too. Oh, gosh, that's so funny. I love that thing. Well, anyway, let's see. Okay, well, let's talk about these people. There are people here on Earth, and of course, they want to debunk the crop circles.
Oh, sure.
You know what? They're telling us that even though for as many that these people actually do at night,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to try to fool you and stuff, there's only 5% of the crop circles that are these people of Earth. 95% are all from aliens.
Huh. So most of them are authentic then.
Absolutely. They really are. And it's just the aliens trying to get a message through to us.
Right.
And, you know, obviously people on the ground are not going to see exactly the concentric patterns and stuff like that,
sure.
you know, and we have the privilege of being able to see it from the sky, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, our governments do have, they actually know about the visitors, first of all.
Oh, surely.
And they also have the answer to the language. They have the key to the language so that we could actually find out what the aliens are trying to tell us.
I was going to ask you that, if we'd ever decipher, you know, the meaning of them, but
mm-hmm.
the government already knows.
Our government knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, governments, they know.
That's not a shock.
Let's see, actually, the ones that are, the governments that are aware of the visitors are actually the United States, Germany, Russia, China,
mm-hmm.
South America, and Australia, mm-hmm. from what I'm understanding. Now, it's, I don't know where England comes in there. You would think that, considering you're the one that have so many, you know, I don't know if they are also, but they're not on my list.
From people that we've spoke to and the discussions about it, it's they do know.
Mm-hmm. It almost seems like it would have to, considering the fact that, I mean, you know, your area is where you have most of them.
Right, exactly.
So I would think that they know just about, you know, all of that.
Right, they do.
Well, actually, the governments, they say the governments are actually just waiting for the time, just for a time to reveal about the crop circles, about the aliens, because they're concerned with a widespread panic.
Right, right. That's what the,
you know,
that's what they say in the States, too. That's why they don't make it known to the public. They don't think the public can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're basically trying to just balance the society here,
right.
And they want to make sure that, you know, we don't have another Orson Welles' War of the Worlds thing happening here.
That's understandable, but that people nowadays are too, I think, can handle it. You know, people are too smart. They know that the governments are covering it up.
You know what? I think everybody's ready for it.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I have seen an alien ship myself already, long time ago, 30-some years ago. And I'll tell you what, when you see one, you won't say, is that one? You will know.
Right.
It's unbelievable because it doesn't look like anything else. You will not even ask the question, do you think that is? Because I will tell you, you just say, oh, my God, and you know exactly what it is.
Well, there's an interesting story in the paper today. You know, they have the big wind farms and the big windmills to generate electricity. Mm-hmm. And up in Lincolnshire, at one of the wind farms, there was a report of last night people seeing all these strange lights in the sky. And this morning when it got light, let me back up a little bit. One couple that lives near the wind farm heard this horrendous crash. And this morning, when it got light, one of the wind turbines, something had run into it and completely sheared off one of the propellers. There's three propellers on the windmill. Completely sheared off one, and the other one's damaged. And the one propeller that sheared off is completely missing now, and there's no debris or no wreckage or anything.
Wow.
And people reported all these strange lights last night and this morning. So, and they're saying, you know, it was a UFO that hit it.
That wouldn't surprise me.
So that was in the front page of the papers today. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
I love this stuff.
Because they're massive. They're like 300 feet tall, these big windmills. And so something crashed into it. But for the whole one blade to be completely missing, and if it was a plane, it would crash, and there'd be wreckage right there. Mm-hmm. Or a helicopter or something, and it had to be something big to shear off one of those big blades. But there's no evidence of anything. It just, you know, just disappeared.
Well, just like Atlantis, what did they do? They took away all the evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
They have that ability to take away the evidence because they want to keep so under the radar,
right.
You know? And if there's anything, any problems, what they do is they just take care of it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, there was witnesses that saw the lights and, you know, heard the crash. So you can't cover that up. So obviously everybody knows it's going to be covered up.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can't miss the lights.
No.
You cannot miss the lights. I saw one and it was massive. You know, the one I saw... I know we're getting off the subject here, but the one I saw, I was traveling on, it's the Boyertown Pike that's in, near Reading, Pennsylvania. And it's very hilly there. And so we were coming from Boyertown and we were heading toward Reading and we were as far up on the hill as you possibly could be.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see down into the valley and, it was a lot of, you know, farm kind of land. And this is when I saw the ship. I mean, it was round. It was gigantic. And all I saw was this orange glow, you know, and it went around in the circle of the ship.
Uh-huh.
And it is a color, seriously, that I have never seen before, ever. Uh-huh. You just couldn't miss it. It was in this field. It took up the whole field. It was unbelievable. So anyway, you know, we're driving and I mean, I was like, I had my daughter was like 6 months at the time, mm-hmm. 6 months old. And, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid maybe we should turn around, you know? We kept driving down on this road and then of course it dipped down and then I could not see down into the valley. And, by the time we got down to where that was, there was nothing there.
Really?
Nothing at all. And so what we did was I stopped at my mom's house and I told her,
mm-hmm.
You know, I said, oh, my God, I just saw, you know, a ship. And it was so exciting. And
yeah.
She said, will you leave Chris here because they're not taking her up on this ship. She knew. And I ended up... I went back with, this was my ex-husband, at that time. Uh-huh. Well, my husband at the time, my ex-husband now.
Right.
And then, of course, my sister and her boyfriend at the time. And we all went back to where we saw this. And we were watching it. And what it did was it actually hovered. We saw it. We saw it, I mean, in the distance. And it hovered. There's a lot of mountains there. And what it did is just followed the mountain. And it was so cool.
Huh.
It was just the neatest thing. And, you know, the dumbest thing is we never took a camera.
Oh, of course. That's always the way.
I can't understand why I didn't, you know.
I'm too excited.
But I knew it in my mind, but my, well, yeah, it was just, it was so much fun, and I just loved it. So no one will ever take that one away from me, because I know for sure it happened.
Yeah. That's what they said last night. You know, these lights were an orangey color.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen some strange things. Driving through Nevada, I've seen some pretty unexplainable things in the sky out there, whether it was the military or otherwise, I don't know. But I think most people have seen things that they can't explain.
Well, in that area, you're going to get an awful lot of alien activity.
Yep. The Area 51 that doesn't exist. And
yeah, well, we don't believe that one either.
No,
I think it's about time that they fess up.
Oh, I think so, too. But they'll just keep covering up. That's what they do best.
Yeah.
Well, back
okay,
to the
well,
crop
let's,
circles.
Let's do crop circles here. Yeah. Let's just see what we did kind of tangent there, but that's always good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Actually, just to let you know, for everybody to know, that even though these crop circles come and the aliens are actually visiting us, you know, they are not a threat. They want us to know that. And they also want us to know they just want to communicate with us. That's all they want to do, you know. And, I mean, like I say, we are their past. You know, they've been where we are, and they have actually, you know, developed further than, well, actually, they've lived in existence longer than us, because our planet is only 70 million years old.
Right.
So, you know, and a lot of these people from these faraway galaxies, I mean, they are actually millions of years old. So, you know, they're just coming to check on our progress more than anything.
Right.
They want to see how we're doing, you know. And, of course, our planet Earth is just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They don't get much better than this. I mean, our Earth, actually, between the water, they say from the sky, from the sky, it's called the blue planet.
Right.
I mean, it is just so beautiful between the water, and it has everything that is needed to sustain life. So, I mean, of course, any alien group would, you know, gravitate toward the Earth, you know, at least even to check it out. And, you know, I mean, they're not going to hurt us.
Right.
They don't want to invade us or anything like that. They would just, they want to watch us grow, and they actually do want to help us, because what they're doing actually with the governments is they're actually helping out with some of the medical things, you know, as far as how to clear up, I mean, how to cure different diseases and stuff like that. They're actually working with the governments on this.
Are they?
They are, and it's, you know, I mean, they're not going to tell us that, you know?
Oh, no.
They won't tell us that, but, you know, they're saying, I mean, how is it that, you know, people from different continents, you know, all of a sudden they have a cure for something,
right.
You know? What they're doing is they're giving the information to the head governments, and the governments are talking amongst themselves, and what they're doing is they're sharing all this information to the point where, you know, the aliens are helping us to actually maybe rid ourselves of some of the diseases. They actually do want to help us. They don't want to hurt us.
Yeah, well, I believe that too.
And they say that the governments have the entire catalyst key to understanding the crop circles, you know. And, you know, they said, well, what most people should do is get together, actually, and ask the government, you know. They want an explanation for it, because they know that, we know that they have the key to this language.
Right.
And we would like to know, you know, they said we should all get together and ask for our governments.
We can all try. I'd like to know. I'd like to know.
I think it would be great.
Yeah.
You know.
It's amazing. You wonder how they make them, actually.
You know, I know.
Because I've seen the documentaries where the people go out in the fields and they recreate them, you know, pushing, standing on these boards and, you know, going and measuring the circles and the lines and everything. But it'd be cool to see how they actually do it.
Well, isn't it true? I mean, I've seen different shows on it. Isn't it true that actually when they do make the impressions on the earth, that they actually do something to the crop itself?
I'm not sure on that. What, like they don't grow back or something?
It changes some kind of aspect of the ground. I don't know if it's the ground, but the crop itself.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's possible.
You know, I think that's what happens. I think what's happening is they do make it. I'm sure it's an impression, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm sure they don't walk around like that, you know,
right, yeah.
like the earth people do,
right.
you know, and I'm sure it's just a certain way that has to do with an energy force or something like that. And it does affect the area in which they, you know, they press that down.
Right. Yeah, well, that makes sense if it does.
Mm-hmm.
I have to check into that.
Yeah, me too. I love this stuff, I'll tell you. But anyway, that's about it on the crop circles, except for the fact, like I say, you know, our governments have the key to the language, and it's just really aliens just trying to talk with us because they really are our brothers from, you know,
yeah.
that are just a little bit more advanced than us.
Right. Well, in some
and
ways,
they're here to help us, that's all.
Right. So that's really cool. Well, I hate to cut us short, Susan, but we've covered what we wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that you came back on the show with us and you shared these aspects, you know, still messages from the other side, obviously, this information. But
mm-hmm.
hopefully it's enlightened a lot of our listeners to these three subjects that we talked about. I know I've been very intrigued about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd love to have you come back on again at some time and talk some more detail about maybe these things and some other topics that I know that you know have been told by the mediums and by the other side.
That would be wonderful. I would love to come back.
Why don't you tell everybody again where they can get both your books?
Okay. Okay, well, for this particular discussion here, it's www.answersfromheaven.com. And again, this is a download, and you would just download it straight to your computer. I do also have another book, www.thingstodooontheotherside.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is, there's a place for a download halfway through or all the way down at the bottom. You can go straight to Lulu Publishing and get the paperback copy.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody to order those. They're very interesting readings. And your email address, so if people want to contact you directly...
Oh, absolutely. My email address is Suzie Slates, SUZIESLATZ, @yahoo.com. And I would love to hear from every one of you. I love getting mail with your comments, with your questions. I mean, I just love to hear from all our listeners.
Yeah. I'm sure that you'll get some response from this, and I encourage, like I said, everybody to get both of Susan's books as they were interpreted. Well, if you can explain it real quick, your husband Barry's the medium, and he got the messages from his guides, and then you've put them into book form, correct?
That's correct. That's it. Yeah, Barry gets all sorts of... with Answers from Heaven, it was just a whole bunch of different things. It was, and I just kind of combined them and made them into a book. It was just all kinds of interesting topics that, and a lot of things we even actually asked questions about and we got answers to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many different aspects in Answers from Heaven. In fact, when you go there, you can actually look at the list of the contents page. As far as Things to Do on the Other Side, this is a book that was written by our guides, Gillian and Jamie and Paul. And Barry basically transcribed it and you know, I put it together. But this one really is more of their words than mine.
Right. And if you missed the first show we did with Susan, you can check it out on her podcast, and that's on our website at soulseekers.org.uk. But thanks again so much, Susan, for coming back on with us.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And we'll have you on again really soon.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, and everybody listening, thank you very much, and be sure to listen to us every Friday night. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
For the latest news in the paranormal world, listen to Soulseekers Supernatural Radio live on Para-X every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time. That's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.